van die machtige waters van die Oranje in die Noordkaap tot die uitgestrektheid van die Grand Canyon in Arizona. Radio Grootrivier.co.za, oral op die web. Radiostasie van die Suidlanders.
Wel, welkom en goeienaand. Jy is ingeskakel by die Radio Grootrivier Suidlanders geselsprogram, waar ons in hierdie reeks nou al met verskeie hoofde en leiers van die Suidlanders gesels het, om 'n bietjie meer perspektief agter die skerms te kry wat gebeur by die organisasie. En as jy dalk van daardie onderhoude wat ek gedoen het misgeloop het, gaan gerus op ons webtuiste onder die pot gooie, gaan klik op Suidlanders gesels, en dan kan jy daar die verskillende hoofde en leiers se onderhoude weer gaan oorluister. Maar vir die afgelope paar weke gesels ons met Simon Roche, hy is die nationale departementshoof van buitelands, en ons gesels sommer so oor die wêreld gebeure wat aan die gang is in Israel, in Amerika natuurlik, en dan ook Rusland, Oekraïne en sovoorts. So ons gaan ons gesels vanaand voortsit met Simon. Kom ons kyk gou of ons hom in die hande kan kry. Simon, goeienaand.
Goeienaand Marius, hoe gaan dit met jou?
Dit gaan baie goed met my en met jou, Simon.
Ja, alright, dankie. Ja, heel alright.
Dat
is gelukkig hier so Klaas.
Dit is altyd goed om te hoor. So ja, Simon, ek het nou net weer eens vinnig vir die luisteraars gesê dat ons het nou al baie onderhoude gedoen het, ek met die hoofde en die leiers van Suidlanders, en laat hulle gerus na ons pot gooi kan gaan luister. En dan hierdie afgelope weke of hele paar kere wat ek en jy nou al saam gesels oor die wêreld gebeure wat aan die gang is in Amerika, in Israel, Rusland, Oekraïne en sovoorts. En dan ja, vanaand sit ons natuurlik hierdie geselsgesprek lekker voort.
Yeah. I think let's have a chat. And I could be wrong, Marius, but I think that last week you suggested that people who had questions should send in their questions, and we answer questions this week. Or not to say we only, but I vaguely recall something like that.
Ja, nee, dit is, ek het nou een spesifieke een hier, wat iemand met my persoonlik gepraat het oor, en hulle het nogal vir my gesê, hulle wonder wat is jou opinie daaroor, en dit gaan half oor die 5G torings wat hulle opgesit het in die COVID tyd, en die mense wat nou so reg oor die internet, reg oor die wêreld begin kla, dat hulle allemaal 3:00 die oggend begin wakker word, en so het jy al 'n bietjie agtergrond oor dit, of het jy 'n opinie oor dit?
Ek het geen agtergrond nie. It was a niche of study for which I didn't have the mental bandwidth. And so in recent years I focused initially on the general South African picture with some special emphasis on farm murders, and then I got heavily into the financial and economic system, and so we've gone along. And when it came to COVID, I really wanted to know what I was talking about. I did an immense amount of research, and it just seemed to me that the 5G thing was a bit like going down the rabbit hole. It was or going off into the bushes kind of thing. And I didn't have the, as I say, the mental bandwidth to master the subject. But this week we've seen that video that's done the rounds. The interview with Robert F. Kennedy, RFK Jr., and I'm now a convert. I'm there. Clearly, if numerous courts in the USA have given him victories when he has sued the pharmaceuticals companies and the cell phone service providers, then, you know, there must be something to it. If the biggest lawyers in the world can't beat RFK, who is a lawyer, his arguments in court, because you would employ the biggest lawyers in the world, not only because you're a Vodacom or Sprint or T-Mobile or whatever in the USA, or that you're a big pharmaceutical company, you would employ the biggest lawyers in the world, if only because the cases themselves could lead to you being made bankrupt, sued for billions of dollars, absolutely wiped out. So Yeah, RFK has successfully convinced numerous U.S. courts that there is a direct connection between cell phone signal and the vaccinations and 5G in the vaccinations and between, from what I understood of that video, just between ordinary people's brains and cell phones. So there's kind of a three-way thing here. Cell phones are having a detrimental effect upon the people who were vaccinated. They also have a hugely detrimental effect upon anybody. If you, as he said, if you're giving a child a cell phone, I forgot what was the age that he mentioned. I'm sorry. But let's say it was 12 years old. His wording was something like, you are stunting the development of the child's brain by definition. It cannot not have a detrimental effect while the brain is still developing. And even in adults, fully developed brains, there's that. So there's number one is cell phones and human beings. Number two is cell phones and the vaccine inside of your body. And number three is 5G and the vaccine. Whether 5G has a detrimental effect just all by itself on people, I couldn't tell you. That's the best that I could understand of that, you know, of that video that was scientific. And I'm not really a scientific sort of person. I will say this to you. I will not sleep with my cell phones. I sleep with two so that I can go to sleep doing research at night. And then when I wake up at 4 a.m, I have a cell phone that has a full battery that I can immediately start working. Tonight will be the first night in 5-6 years that I don't go to sleep with two cell phones in my bedroom. I'm going to, if I have to take a melatonin tablet, you know, it's that natural stuff that you have to have in your brain, and it is very much reduced in modern human beings, so it is good to take melatonin. We are short of it. If I have to take a melatonin tablet to fall asleep, then so be it. But starting tonight, after watching that video at 4 o'clock this morning, I will no longer sleep with my cell phones because what Robert F. Kennedy described was terrifying. I haven't been hit so hard by a theme. I mean, there's more than one subject there.
Yeah.
It's the vaccinations, it's 5G, and it's cell phones regardless of 5G. So let's call it a theme rather than a subject. I haven't been struck so hard by a theme for a long, long, long time. Years.
Ja, en dan van die ander video's wat ek ook gekyk het oor hierdie onderwerp, en dan die selfde een waarvan jy nou praat, is ook dat wanneer jy in jou diep slaap is, is juist wanneer jou liggaam homself herstel. Dit is wanneer jou liggaam die meeste selle en wat ook al in jou gestel homself herstel. Nou, as hulle die slaap kan steur, dan gaan jou liggaam nie funksioneer soos wat hy veronderstel is om te funksioneer nie. So dit is ook om 3 uur in die oggend reg oor die wêreld die mense wakker word, want daardie tyd van die oggendure dan stuur hulle soos 'n selfoon burst sein uit deur die torings en dit maak jou wakker oordat jou selfoon reg langs jou lê, reg langs jou op jou kopkussie of jou bedkassie of wat ook al lê. Dit maak jou letterlik wakker. Dit is ook om selfs in my eie huishouding is daar baie van my familie en vriende wat sê, "Luister, ek word elke aand 3 uur wakker." Of net na 3 raak ek wakker en dan kry ek nie weer geslaap nie. En hy het dit nou in daardie video baie mooi uitgelig om te sê, maar die studies is daar, die bewyse is daar, dit is wat hulle besig is om te doen. Hulle kyk hoe daai syne jou as 'n mens affekteer.
Yeah, I've got a slight advantage in that regard. Not to undo my own argument. I'm just saying a slight advantage. In as much as I don't have cell phone signal for miles around, I have to drive 19 kilometers to get reliable cell phone signal. So I'm not getting that cell phone thing. You know what I mean? Like the normal cell phone, I'm getting wireless, but still, it's enough for me. The cell phone as an instrument is now horrifying to me. As far as I'm concerned, even if I don't have cell phone signal, that thing is the devil. It's now no longer going to form part of my sleep. And if it's cold or stiff, I don't feel like getting out of bed. You know, I'm wide awake, but I don't feel like getting up and getting dressed and starting work at 4 o'clock. Then I'll start at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be any more of that that cell phone, you know, last thing before sleep and first thing when you wake up.
Dis hy. Okay, dan ook so in dieselfde, ek nou nie heeltemal dieselfde wyn as wat ons nou gesels nie, maar het jy gesien dat NASA het geherken 'n meteoriet gaan vanaf 15 September in daardie omgewing nou verby ons kom. Hulle het dit nou offisieel het hulle dit bekend gemaak dat dit gaan so wees. So ek weet ek en jy het die vorige keer voor dit het ons gepraat oor die kalender wat presies reg op lyn op 'n Vrydag wat ek dink jy het gesê 27 September wat daar 'n meteoriet of een of ander iets verby ons gaan beweeg vir 'n tyd lank.
Ja, ja. Well, I don't know. I did a bunch of research on this and I couldn't find the original source. But basically, using witchcraft, let's say, as I've described to you before, I don't get into occultic things. That's not my thing. But I'm very much into hearing that class of people, the rabbis, talk about what they think is going to happen next, because it's very pertinent to everything that's going on in the world, not least because they claim that they are in charge of everything that's going on in the world. And I explained to you at length how that works. It's to do with the hastening of the coming of the Messiah, which is equivalent to the number one law of the Torah, and we spoke about that. So I went to see if I could find out where this ultimately, it's a corruption of the Torah. So take the Torah, use black magic, and you get certain things out of it. And then you use those things in your interest. I couldn't find the original source in the first five books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If I had gone via all of that occultic stuff, then I would have found it, but I'm not willing to do so. But the long and the short of it is that there is a series of verses in the Torah that when you do gematria numerology with them, by the way, I just want to make one thing clear. There are two very different numerologies. The numerology of Chuck Missler, the famous pastor, is not a sinister, it's not a dirty, it is a loving kindness. That he's a good, clean man who exposes simple things. There's nothing sinister about the work that he does. So, just as I mention that, because some people, you know, they intentionally verwar things that they know nothing about. And I say that with love. I take a lot of poundings. Ek vat houe vir goed wat ek nie doen nie. And not all numerology is the same thing. Go and watch a Chuck Missler video and you will discover for yourself that is Christian through and through. There's nothing yucky about it. Anyway, this dark stuff, I'm not interested in having anything to do with it. So I can't tell you which are the verses in the Torah, because I was unwilling to do that research. But they have applied a certain numerology a numerology that was learned in Babylon. It was learned during the exile in Babylon, the Jewish exile. So much so that the book that was written about it, the Mishneh Torah, which means the second Torah, generally referred to as the Talmud, which is strictly speaking that second Torah and a whole bunch of commentaries called the Gemara. Right. That book is in fact correctly referred to as the Babylonian Torah. Because that's the full title of it. The Babylonian Talmud, I beg your pardon. Right, so they say that on a Friday, when the 15th of the lunar calendar coincides with the 25th of September, which is something that happens once every 8 years or so, there's a comet that will appear for 70 days. And this coming Friday, the 25th of September, is indeed the 15th of the month of Elul in the lunar calendar. And it was revealed by a South African observatory on the 22nd of January last year that a comet will appear in the night sky on that night, and it will be here for 70 days. And that this prophecy that goes back like 4,000 years pertains to a 70-day appearance. So I know that's a very long-winded answer to your very simple question of whether I had or hadn't seen the NASA announcement, but I was hesitant to just answer you in the simplest of terms. The dates are quite important. I haven't seen the NASA announcement, and you said the 15th of September, but this must be Friday the 25th, which is the 15th of Elul. So we may be talking about two different comets or maybe a date.
Wel, miskien is dit 'n meteoriet wat voor hierdie komeet kom, wie weet. Maar dit was nogal interessant toe ons gesels het daaroor die vorige keer, en toe iewers skielik toe kom dit by my op, hierdie artikel van NASA dat hulle nou gesê het, o ja, so terloops, moet nou nie bang wees nie, daar gaan 'n ding kom hier in September ensovoorts. So ek wil ook maar net dit verby jou gehardloop het. Dan seker maar laastens omtrent Simon, en dit is ek het gesien Turkye is gaan nou aansluit by BRICS, of hulle het aansoek gedoen om by BRICS aansoek te doen. Hoe pas dit nou in by die feit dat Turkye vir Israel wil aanval, maar Amerika, wat 'n bondgenoot is as gevolg van NATO, mag nou nie saam met, of kan nie saam met Turkye staan nie, alhoewel hulle veronderstel is om te wees. Pas dit nou perfek in by eintlik wat hulle wil hê moet gebeur? Hulle wil eintlik maar hê Turkye moet BRICS toe gaan, as jy nou uit 'n Amerikaanse oogpunt daarna kyk, want dan hoef hulle nie vir Turkye by te staan om Israel aan te val wat hulle eintlik verdedig nie.
That's a very good question. The way you structured that sentence makes it turns it into a very, very good question. I don't know. I really don't know. But what I can tell you is that this is one of the biggest openings of a gate in terms of Wimsina van Rensburg's prophecies that I can think of. Maybe the greatest. I had a very profound experience, as you know, as the appointed project manager of Nelson Mandela's funeral. I was very privileged to be the only human being in the whole world who had read Wimsina's prophecies about Nelson Mandela's death and was briefed, one man, alone, by myself. I don't think any of those people ever read Wim Adriaan Snyman's work. In the same words, using Wimsina's words. So that was a big event in my entire life. But this comes close to it, because Wimsina van Rensburg said that Russia storms through Turkey all the way to the sea in one night. And there's a guy in Pennsylvania, a very, very nice guy, great Zuidlander supporter. He wants to be one of the first of the people in the white tents. And I hear from a mutual friend, a very close mutual friend, that he's going to come out here early next year and just stay here. he's convinced enough. This is, it's enough now. Anyway, that guy said to me one day in September last year, Simon, you know this Oomsina van Rensburg prophecy? Now, he knows this stuff inside and out. I said, yeah. He said, haven't we learned from the Ukraine war, and in fact, haven't we learned from every war in history, that a small contingent of men can hold up an army for a certain period of time? Therefore, how on earth will Russia be able to storm through the entirety of Turkey in one night? Just a company will be able to hold up that army for, you know, whatever it is, 5 hours, 5 days. They'll get verpletter, that company, but they can do it. We're seeing it over and over and over and over again. I said to him, Jong, now that you say it, yes, see, yeah, I don't know. His name is Gordon. I said, I don't know, Gordon. He said, I think I've got the answer. He said, I think that Turkey will betray its NATO alliance, join BRICS, become a secret ally of Russia, and it will open the doors from the border to the sea, enabling the Russians to scream through with their army, you know, whatever it is. I don't know which route they're going to take, say 800 kilometers, I couldn't tell you, at 100 kilometers an hour overnight. I said to him, Gordon, anyway, here we see today, this morning. And I posted on my group when I posted the article. This has been coming for some time, but it wasn't really, there wasn't a police job on it. So we haven't been talking about it, but it has been coming for some time. So I posted the article for the first time this morning on my strategic news group. And I put the commentary there, a dagger to the heart of NATO. This is big. Dit is groot verby. It's really one of the biggest things I've ever witnessed in my life.
Ja. Ja, en Turkye het toch een van die grootste weermagte in van die hele NATO lande. Het is sy weermag, so NATO gaan hulle definitief nie wil verloor nie, maar Amerika gaan bly wees, want nou hoef hy nie saam met Turkye teen Israel te staan nie, want hy wil vir Israel verdedig, soos ek gesê het, en dan pas het in by, dat hulle een Rusland bondgenoot gaan raak, dat soos oom senior gesê het, Rusland, hulle gaan net deur Rusland gaan in een aandse tyd, so dit is asof al die stikkies van die legkaart stadig maar seker half mooi in mekaar en begin val, en as die mense gaan begin aandag gee aan hierdie goed, en dan gaan jy net elke week meer en meer verstom raak, hoe die dinge iewerskielik begin half sin maak en in mekaar inpas. Ek bedoel, van jou COVID goed af, tot die rabbies in Israel, alles pas mooi in mekaar in, en ja, dit is wat het lekker maak om met jou te gesels, want jy gee baie diepte aan van hierdie dinge, wat ons maar net so met 'n halwe oor gewoonlik hoor.
No, it's the credit is not due to me. The credit is due to Mr. Miller, who pays my salary, and to the Saitlanders members who pay their fees, their dues every month, that allow Mr. Miller to, you know, have somebody doing this work. So I really take zero credit for it. I'm being paid to do a job of work, just like I pay somebody to iron my shirts or to rake the cuttings in my garden. It really is that simple. But it's, you're dead right. So much stuff is falling into place now. It's just unbelievable. I think that the period from now until mid-December is going to be unbelievable. Absolutely something else out of this world. We've got the American election. We've got a global financial crisis that is just begging to be born. And October, as you know, is the month of financial crises throughout history. Late September, October. And we've got the Israel scenario and the Ukraine scenario. And now that Ukraine has done an incursion into Kursk, it weakened them. It weakened their front line in the Donbass in the four eastern and southeastern oblasts. And the Russians are in some areas moving forward at 30 kilometers a day over the past few days. So everything is changing before our faces. We've got Benjamin Netanyahu, who is screaming for an invasion of southern Lebanon. We've got a third of the US's fleet is parked around Israel. So clearly they're absolutely convinced that something big is going to happen. And just this week, we heard the Russians say that they believe that they know why it was that those two drones crashed into the Voronezh radars. I think I've told you this before.
Yeah.
I read an article in Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe, that described 8 of these radars. And in fact, they're 13, but they're not all exactly the same thing. So there are 8 major radars that cover a distance of about 6,800 kilometers. And their purpose, 8 for the whole of Russia, but these radars are enormous. And they overlap with one another. They're just incredible. They are meant to detect incoming intercontinental ballistic missiles. And 2 of them were blinded about 5 months ago by 2 NATO drones. They had to have been NATO drones. And the Russians are saying now they understand why those 2 were damaged. It's because they are the 2 that cover the US fleet in the Eastern Mediterranean and in the Northwest Indian Ocean. That is to say, the Red Sea, the Arabian Peninsula, and forget now what is the sea near Iran, not the Indian Ocean, the inlet, the channel.
Yeah,
Swiss. All of those vessels there. Yeah, so they can launch a surprise attack. And as one Russian guy put it, he said, you could have 200 airplanes from all of those numerous aircraft carriers. 200 airplanes, excluding what you've got in the ground, on the ground in Cyprus and other places, in the air with missiles, and we wouldn't know it. So, yeah, I think we are teetering on the edge of high drama.
Ja. En dan nog iets interessants, wat het my nou bygeval, wat ek vandag en gister ook in die nuusraak gesien het, is laat China, die Afrika leiers, genooi het, om weer vergaderings daar te gaan hou en laat China die maan en die sterre in Afrika beloof, want hulle het nou al soveel geld ingepomp en hulle gaan nog soveel geld in Afrika inpomp, dit sluit natuurlik Suid-Afrika in, en dan wat die Afrika leiers vra, laat hulle dalk versagtende toestande kan kry op hulle lenings wat hulle sover vir China skuld en nuwe ooreenkomste wat daar besig is om in die gang te kom, maar China wat definitief sy voet in die deur hier in Afrika in neersit en sê, luister hier, ek is hier so om Afrika bondgenoot te wees, wil ek amper sê.
Ja, and you know, they've gone about it in a very interesting way, which is not to say that the Chinese are good and the West is bad. They will get their pound of flesh, make no mistake. But they've been creative and original about it, and they've done it differently to the way that the West did it for many years. And so now everybody's saying China good, West bad, which is not necessarily the case. It's like, as I say to people, I'm not pro-Russian. I just continually make the arguments that give the lie to what the mainstream is saying about the Russia-Ukraine war. Likewise, soortgelyk. I'm not being pro-Russian when I point the following out. Russians always say we didn't colonize the world like the West did, which is a rank lie. It's an absolute lie. They didn't have overseas colonies. But Chechnya, the Dagestan, all of these places, they stole an enormous chunk of Germany during World War II and then afterwards during the peace agreements and gave it to Poland and then stole a portion of eastern Poland. Russia has been colonizing since forever. Russia is an enormous colonial power. So when Vladimir Putin says, well, we don't colonize, he's telling a lie. But it is like with the Chinese thing. It's not that the Chinese are being goody-goody. They're going to take their pound of flesh, make no mistake. They've just gone about it in a way that's not so blatant, that's not so obviously advantageous to the Chinese. The Chinese are going to get their advantage down the line. Make no mistakes. When they do deals, they get enormous privileges in return. Such as, I was involved in a project to as a project manager to set up a Chinese mine and cement station, a factory, I beg your pardon, that were in absolute violation of the recently passed, when I say recently, it was then, call it 10 years ago, new law pertaining to mineral extraction and petroleum resources and energy. I forget the name of the law. So, yeah, everybody says, oh, look at the Chinese. They're bringing a factory. We all get it work. They're so sweet and kind. And they're setting up a mine. But they use no local labor, zero, absolutely nil. And with time, they will extract huge amounts of resources. They've paid the money to the ANC that the ANC needed to be paid, and everybody's happy. But they're not the goody two shoes who just throw money at fools, you know, just to see it go down the tubes.
Yeah,
people must realize that.
Ja, nee, definitief. Maar nou ja, Simon, dankie weer eens vir 'n lekker gesels. Ek hoop die luisteraars het dit net so geniet soos wat ek en jy geniet om met mekaar te praat. En dan doen ons dit volgende donderdag aand weer.
I look forward to it, as always, Mario. See you next Thursday.
Dis hy, lekker aand en tot ziens.
Tot ziens, bye-bye.